Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to welcome you all here this morning. Let me join Chris in saying welcome to fall kickoff. We're so glad that you're here with us. It's a great day to have joined us. We've got some great stuff outside for you, but also just a great atmosphere and here with great people. So if you are relatively new to our community, we're so glad that you're here. We hope you get connected today. We hope you meet some amazing people and also have an encounter with the God that loves you dearly and deeply. And we invite you after the service to just join the party. We've got some great Italian ices out there. We've got some great people. We've got bounce houses, a dunk tank. You can dunk your favorite teen, or at the very least try to dunk your favorite teen. And it'll just be a great morning. We're so glad that you're here. Before I dive into the sermon, I just want to remind our community that this Friday we have a congregational meeting here at the Pittsburgh campus at 7 p.m. We're going to give an update of how the search process is going for a future location for this campus, for Chatham Community Church here at Pittsburgh. So we'll be here at 7 p.m. Come join us. We'll share what we have to share. We'll answer whatever questions you may have. And we'll continue to pray together for what God has for us in the near future. So glad for you to join us. One of my guilty pleasures is the Rocky series of films starring Sylvester Stallone. Aside from the first one, they're all fairly predictable. Rocky starts out in a good place. Bad stuff happens. Rocky experiences some sort of loss. Rocky turns the boat around, and Rocky wins, right? That's the general arc of all but the first movie. But I always get sucked in. It doesn't matter what part of the movie it's on. If it's on and I stumble upon it, I get sucked in. And I'm especially fond of Rocky III. That may be because I grew up in the 80s and Hulk Hogan and Mr. T are in Rocky III. But for whatever reason, this one in particular I enjoy. Early on in the movie, as is to be expected, Rocky faces a challenge. He faces and loses to Clubber Lang, who's played by Mr. T. It's a devastating loss, which is compounded by the fact that his longtime trainer, Mickey, dies. In the wake of that loss and in the midst of grief, Rocky's old rival, Apollo Creed, approaches Rocky and tells him that the reason he lost is that because he no longer has the eye of the tiger. He lost the eye of the tiger. See, as champion, Rocky had grown complacent. He'd grown distracted. He wasn't focused. He wasn't engaged. He wasn't hungry anymore. And if he wanted to regain his championship, if he wanted to avenge his loss, if he wanted to get back in the game, he needed to regain the eye of the tiger. He needed to go all in. Cue the music, the training montage, the running on the beach, and, you know, as predictable, right? You can tell a switch has flipped in Rocky. He's a completely different person. He gets in shape, he locks in, and he gets into the ring, this time with no fear or trepidation, ready to face Clubber Lang, who had clobbered him before. And he emerges as the champion once again to the wonderful fanfare of the Rocky movies, because he had the eye of the tiger, because he went all in. And going all in made all the difference. When was the last time you went all in for something? When was the last time you gave something intense focus, intense attention, dedicated time, whatever the case may be, whatever all in might look like? Now, life isn't like the movies, and we don't always emerge as champions when we go all in. Even if we get the eye of the tiger, even if we put on the soundtrack, even if we run on the beach, doesn't always emerge with us being champion. But there's definitely something different. Something different that happens when we decide to go all in, when we decide to dedicate ourselves fully, when we decide to be committed. We could even say that the experience, whatever the result, the experience of going all in taps into something deep in us. It is resonant. It feels good. It feels right to give something that kind of investment and engagement. When was the last time you went all in? We've said it a number of times, but today is what we call fall kickoff here at Chatham Community Church. And it's when we launch into a new season for us as a community and a new season in our engagement with Chatham County for good. And our theme for this season, predictably, is all in. We debated with going with Eye of the Tiger or all in, but we ended with all in. No, just joking. On Sunday mornings, we're going to be focusing on the Gospel of Mark. All in the fall, we are going all in on the Gospel of Mark. It's one of the four accounts we have of the life of Jesus to start off the New Testament. And in the Gospel of Mark, what we're going to see is a Jesus who goes all in for us. He goes all in for you. He goes all in for me. He goes all in for our world. He steps into our reality with power, with authority, with compassion, with love, with purpose, with determination. He doesn't hold back on his mission to save you and to save me. And it changes the world. It changes history. It's changed countless of lives, countless lives. It's changed my life. It's changed many of yours. And it's in light of that that we're inviting ourselves, every one of us, you and me, we're being invited to go all in with him, to trust fully, to follow boldly, to live in step with the one who brings wholeness, who brings restoration, who brings healing, who brings salvation, and who held nothing back and holds nothing back to bring that about. So as you listen to today's sermon, as you engage over the next few weeks, I want you to consider going all in with something, with at least one thing connected to God. Some things in life are worth doing all in. In fact, some things can only be done all in to get the most out of them. And life with God might be one of them for you. In fact, I dare to say life with God is one of them. So be open. Be open during this season. Be open to how God might be inviting you to go all in. What might be your next all in step? And engage in one or more ways and then see the difference. See the difference it makes in your life and see the difference that it makes in the lives of those around you, how it brings about blessing, not just for you, but for those around you as well. The passage Kevin read for us helps to set the stage for how in and through Jesus, God has gone all in his mission to rescue humanity. God is committed to us. God has gone all in. This is an all-in passage. Let me first locate us in the timeline of events. When we meet Jesus in this passage, he is not a well-known figure in the region. He doesn't have any followers. He's not performed any miracles that we have on record at the very least. He has made his way from his hometown and whatever profession he was engaging in, likely some sort of building or crafting profession like his father. He has made his way from that town and from that job to a place where John the Baptist is baptizing people. John the Baptist has been in sort of the wilderness in a distant place at the Jordan River, immersing people as people were coming out responding to an invitation to turn from their sins and to turn to God and to receive forgiveness. At the same time as he's doing this, he's proclaiming that God is at work, he's proclaiming and calling people to turn from their wayward ways, to receive forgiveness. He is declaring that God is up to something, that someone is coming, that God's deliverance is on its way and it is nearly at hand. And this is good news for the people at that time, because the people at that time were under Roman occupation. They were an occupied people. They were experiencing the weight of being a conquered people. They needed deliverance. They were waiting for deliverance. And also, they had been experiencing what felt like God's silence for generations. So the idea, not just that God is up to something now, but that God is coming to bring deliverance, is good news to these people, because it tells them that God has not forgotten them. It tells them that in the midst of their hardship, in the midst of their trouble, God is up to something and something good is coming. They have no idea that the Savior has already been born. That over two decades before, the Savior has been born. God has taken on flesh in the form of Jesus to rescue humanity. And the core of his mission is about to start. Now, there are a few things about the baptism that I want to highlight for us. The first is what happens as Jesus comes out of the waters. It tells us that as he comes out of the water, a dove, a spirit in the form of a dove, descends onto him, and a voice is heard from the heavens, the voice of the Father. So what you have at the baptism is you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit converging. God in three persons converging and confirming God's mission and God's purpose in and through Jesus to rescue humanity. What you've got is God saying, I am all in to rescue humanity. I am all in to rescue humanity. God has gone all in for the sake of rescuing humanity, for the sake of rescuing our world, for the sake of rescuing you and of rescuing me. One of the better known New Testament passages talks about how God has given his only son for the sake of making a way for you and for me to participate and to receive and to enter into life, not just life, but the fullest of lives. And not just the fullest of lives that is limited by our time here on earth, but the fullest of lives that lasts for all time. Life to the fullest for all time. God has made a way for that through Jesus. God holds nothing back. God holds nothing back to rescue you and to rescue me. Now, we've attempted to right the ship of our world all throughout history. We've put in some good effort to right the ways in which we hurt one another, in which we hurt our world, in which we create distance from us and God. And we have come up not fully being able to accomplish it all. But God steps in. God goes all in to make a way for us to achieve that which we could not obtain for ourselves. God has given his one and only son, and someone who gives so much and of such value for you and for me is worth giving consideration. So if you're here and you've entertained the thoughts of going all in with God, but have never really fully committed, let me say once again, this is worth considering. This is worth considering because of all that God has already done. It is worth wrestling deeply. So perhaps your all-in step this season is actually to give yourself to wrestling with whether or not you will give your all to this God. To this God that's already given his all for you. The second thing I want to highlight is the very fact that Jesus gets baptized. The baptism that John is calling people to was for repentance and for forgiveness of sin. Both the testimony of the ancient scriptures and of church history tell us that Jesus committed no sins. He needed no forgiveness. So if that's true, then why does Jesus go and get baptized? I think one part is that he's participating in what God is doing. This is clearly a move of God and a work of God that is happening in a way that hadn't happened for generations. And Jesus is responsive. Just as people are responding to God's word and to God's work, Jesus, one time and time again, proves that he is responsive to the Father's word. He is in step with what God is doing. He is about God's word. But in addition, in participating in the baptism, I think one of the things that Jesus is doing is he's identifying even more deeply with humanity. See, what's going on in the baptism is droves and droves of people are acknowledging their weakness. They're acknowledging their need. They're acknowledging the ways that they've fallen short of the mark. They're acknowledging their desperate need for God. And Jesus stands with the people in their need. He identifies with us. In our humanity, in our weakness, in our sins, though he has no sins to confess, in this moment where droves of people are acknowledging that they've missed the mark, are acknowledging that they've hurt people, are acknowledging that they've turned their back on God and need to be forgiven, Jesus stands with humanity. Rather than stand apart, he identifies with so that he can rescue us. He goes all in. And this is worth not just giving our consideration. This makes him worth trusting with our whole lives. We can trust that going all in with God is worth it because God, through Jesus, has already gone all in with us. He has identified with us and then rescued us. At the baptism, we see not only the Trinity converging in this moment of launching into the mission to save humanity, we see Jesus identifying with us in our brokenness and in our need. He dives in for us before he asks anything from us. The God that calls you to follow him, The God that calls me to follow him, the God that invites us and calls us to go all in for him, goes first. He first goes all in for us. As Jesus gets baptized, a voice is heard from the heavens that says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now remember, this is before Jesus has performed any miracles. This is before he's preached any sermons. This is before he's gathered any followers. Before he has set out on any mission. Before all of that, he is already a beloved son. He already has the Father's favor. His heavenly Father is for him. And isn't that a strong foundation to launch into mission from? Isn't that a strong foundation to launch into his purpose from as he goes forth into this mission, as he goes forth to preaching the gospel, as he goes forth performing miracles, as he goes forth making his way to the cross? He goes forth with a secure identity. He goes forth with a love that he did not have to earn and cannot lose. And he goes forth with the favor of the Father. When you see this name tag, what comes to mind for yourself? Take a moment. What words, what phrases, what memories, what images pop into your mind? The truth is that throughout our life, we pick up all sorts of labels that could fit into that slot. Some of them are temporary. Some of them seem to stick. Some of them are pleasant. Some of them are not. Some of them are fruit of our mistakes and remind us of things we'd rather people just let go. Some of them are highlights of some of our best moments, and we're glad to wear them like badges of honor. What's true is that all of them can play a role in shaping us, in shaping our sense of identity, and shaping what we think we can pursue or can accomplish. So once again, what comes to mind when you see this name tag? What are the markers of identity that you bring with you into this place today? Let me remind us that at his baptism, Jesus is identifying with humanity. The words spoken over Jesus, I think, are not just about Jesus. They also reflect God's posture towards all of humanity. They reflect his posture towards you, and they reflect his posture towards me. So I want to invite you to try these on for size. That you and I are daughters and sons of God. That you and I are beloved. And that God is for us. That God is for you. That God is for me. This reflects a God who is all in. A God who is fully committed. And we get to fully embrace these. We get to fully let them fully shape who we are, how we think, how we engage, what we think of ourselves, what we think about our place in this world, the further we go in with God. As we go all in with God, we get to embrace these things fully for ourselves, and it can make all the difference. Folks, the invitation to go all in with God comes from one through whom you and I have secure identity. Comes from one whose love we do not need to earn and cannot lose. And comes from one whose favor is for us before we've done anything to earn it. We have intrinsic value. We have intrinsic worth. That's the one who calls us to go all in with him. I was reading an article a while back about elite military units. And it talked about how these elite military units would go on these very particular missions. And in preparation for these missions, they would attempt to simulate the conditions that they would face in the mission as they headed towards their objective. And they would drill different scenarios. that might come up during that mission, different things that might happen, different contingencies that they might need to prepare for, each time making sure that they can execute perfectly for the sake of accomplishing the mission that they are sent forth for. Part of what this does is it gives the team confidence that they can succeed as they go out, that they can succeed in very risky situations, that they can succeed in the face of immense challenges, that they are prepared to encounter whatever they come. Even if they face something that they didn't drill for, the fact that they drilled so much already gives them a sense of confidence that even on the fly, they might be able to face whatever comes before them and still succeed. After Jesus is baptized, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, right? Wilderness in this area of the world is not a big forest. The wilderness is desert. It's a barren place. And he's led into that place by the Spirit to be tested by the evil one. The evil one wants Jesus to give up his mission before it even starts. And the evil one throws everything he has at him. And that seems like a really odd thing to subject a beloved son to. It seems like an odd thing, but actually, this is a gift. It is actually a blessing to Jesus, and it's a blessing to us. See, the wilderness is not punishment for Jesus. The wilderness is the place that a loving father sends the son to put the enemy on notice that his days are numbered. The wilderness is the place where Jesus gains the confidence to know that no matter what the enemy throws at him, he will overcome. Because no matter what the enemy throws at Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus remains committed. He remains committed to God, and he remains committed to the mission God has called them to. He remains committed to rescuing humanity, even though in the wilderness there are all sorts of reasons to give that up. And God doesn't abandon Jesus in the wilderness. Even though it's a place of testing, even though it's a place of hardship, God's angels provide for Jesus. The rest of Jesus' ministry is not going to be smooth sailing. This isn't a one-and-done opportunity for Jesus to back away. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be betrayal. There are going to be obstacles. There's so many things that are going to come his way. But he's going into all that knowing that he's already faced the worst that the enemy can throw at him. And he's overcome. And he stood the test. Nothing was enough to topple him. Folks, Jesus has faced the toughest obstacles and the fiercest opposition. And Jesus has emerged and remains victorious. The one who goes all in for us didn't back down when things got tough. He pressed through. He pressed through out of his love for God, out of his love for us, and out of his commitment to rescue you and to rescue me that we might have life to the fullest for all time. He was and is victorious. You and I are going to face obstacles. We have faced obstacles already. We faced opposition and will face opposition. We faced adversity and will face adversity. Some of us are facing one or more of those things right now. It is unavoidable. Wouldn't you rather face those things with a God who has overcome them all? Because that's what's available when we go all in with God. When we are all in with God, we can press through and overcome in the face of any and every adversity, obstacle, and opposition, because the one who went all in for us faced them all and emerged victorious. You get to face all of it with a God who calls you his daughter, a God who calls you his son. You get to face all of that with a God who calls you his beloved, whose love is for you. You get to face all that with a God who is for you. And if God is for you, what can stand against you? Jesus goes forth into his mission, into his purpose, from a place of secure identity, from a place of belovedness, and from a place of knowing that God is pleased in him just for who he is. And he goes into that mission and that purpose already battle-tested, knowing that he can withstand whatever hit may come his way. He is committed to the mission to bring redemption and rescue for all of humanity. You and I have an opportunity and an invitation to embrace the God who has gone all in for us and to go all in with him. We get to choose to go all in with him and to go forth knowing that our identity is secure, knowing that God's love is for us, knowing that God is on our side, and knowing that with God we can withstand whatever adversity may come. There was a child who was born to American parents, but they were living overseas in another country. They were both fluent in the local language and spoke both English and the local language and in the home and around. As the child started to speak, the parents noticed that while it seemed like the child understood both languages, she would only speak in the local language. Makes sense. It was the language that most people around her spoke. Didn't matter how much the parents spoke to her in English, she would only respond in the local language. Between the ages of around 3 and 4, the family traveled to the U.S. for an extended stay with family and friends. It was the first time that most of the extended family and most of the friends were going to meet the child. And those people only spoke English. By the time that the child returned home, she was speaking English fluently. She just needed to be fully immersed. She just needed to go all in. Folks, there are things that are unlocked only when we go all in. Only when we go all in. That's true in areas like this in life. It's true in life with God as well. Imagine what might get unlocked in you over these next few weeks, over these next few months, if you're willing to go all in with God. With the God who loves you, the God who calls you daughter, the God who calls you son, and the God who is for you, and the God who can help you withstand any and all adversity. Today and for this whole season, the invitation is to go all in with God. There are a number of ways you can do this. These options are just that. They're options. They're not exhaustive. They're just suggestions. A number of them are here in the bookmark that you got. These are ways to go all in. To go all in with community. Whether it's in some of our affinity groups, our men's or women's groups. If you're a teenager, a student, student ministries is a way to go all in this season. Any of these opportunities. But overall, what I want to invite you to is to consider one of these as a way to go all in this season. If church attendance for you has been sporadic, I want to invite you to maybe take a step in going all in by committing to attending during this series. For as many Sundays as you are in town, make your way here. And don't just attend, engage. Engage with curiosity and engage with openness that God has something for you. Maybe you don't have a practice of reading scripture. Maybe you're wondering where to engage or how to engage with God's word. I've told you we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark all through the fall. Perhaps going all in is to make space to get to know the Jesus that we talk about, the Jesus that goes all in for us in a deeper way. Commit to reading the Gospel of Mark. It's a short gospel. If you commit to reading just a little bit each day, you'll be through it a couple of times before we're done preaching through it. We're just taking a few verses every week. If you've been attending but have not joined any of our communities, perhaps it's to join a small group. And lastly, perhaps going all in is moving beyond receiving to giving back and finding a place in this church, in the community, in your neighborhood to consistently bless someone else or other groups of people for the next 6 to 8 weeks. There may be some other ways, but whatever it is, today the invitation is to respond to the God who's already gone all in for you, and to take a step to going all in with him. One of the ways we get to respond to the all-in God is by taking communion together. This is something that we do the first Sunday and the fifth Sunday of every month that has 5 Sundays. We take communion together. This is the first Sunday of the month, so you can see that around the room we have some stations. For those of you who are unfamiliar to church or unfamiliar to communion, maybe you've heard of it as the Lord's Supper. This is a meal that Jesus celebrated or commemorates, a meal that Jesus celebrated for his disciples and invited his followers to participate in, to remember his salvation by. So today we're going to take communion together. If you are following Jesus in any way, you are welcome to take communion. If you're not sure or aren't following Jesus, it's okay. No one is paying attention to who comes and who doesn't come to take communion. The invitation is to reflect and to consider and to observe what God is doing in the room as we take communion together and to pray, perhaps, as we take communion together. Here's how we're going to do it. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. The worship team is going to play some music. I'm going to invite my communion table host to go to those tables now because I'm about to wrap up, so go to those tables. You're going to come up while the worship team is playing, and you're going to grab a gluten-free cracker, you're going to grab a cup of grape juice, and then you're going to take them back to your seat. At some point during the song, I'm going to come up, and I'm going to explain what happens during communion, and I'm going to invite us to take the elements, to take first the cup with the gluten-free cracker and then the grape juice. And then we'll pray, and then we'll continue singing in worship. So once again, I'm going to pray now. You're released to the stations. You grab the elements. You keep them at your seat. And then I'll lead us in the taking of the elements together. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you go all in. Lord, saving humanity was so important to you that you held nothing back. You gave of yourself. You gave all of yourself for us. Thank you, Lord, that you identify with us in our weakness, you identify with us in our humanity, and you rescue us from the ways that we miss the mark, the ways that we hurt one another, the ways that we hurt our world, the way that we separate from you. Lord, thank you that you call us beloved. Thank you that you call us your daughters, your sons. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've shown no matter what fate, what we face in life, we can emerge victorious. We are all in with you. Lord, we welcome you. We welcome the invitation, and we go all in, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.